Amen. I'm going to try to get where you can hear me now. I just finished 4 weeks of screaming outside. And it's a miracle I can even talk. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, the message this morning, a lot different. Last Sunday morning, you know, I preached on hell, and we had some people saved, and we had a great service. This morning, I want to do something different and preach to a certain group of people that are here today. This group of people is people who are letting the devil use something on you. I'd say there's probably 300 here this morning. Some worse than others. Probably. I don't know of anything else that I could preach on this morning that would directly touch the lives of 300 people in here as a present problem or difficulty that you're having. And I was reading this scripture the other day, and I love to read through 1 Samuel. Just came through there. And I was reading this the other day, and I like that story through there where Saul is chasing David and how God always delivers David. And he always just, you know, makes a narrow escape, you know, and how God's hand was on him, preserving him and all of that. And David here had been through some bad times. Something happened there just a second ago. I think my jacket must be covering it up. Might have one of these double-breasted things. Ought to be sound funny, shouldn't it? Amen. 1 Samuel 30, Bible said in verse 6, look at verse number 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. Now that could be you this morning. Distress. I hear it all the time. People say, I'm just stressed out. I am at the point of just giving up. I've about had it, preacher. I believe that is the battle attack of the devil on our generation of Christians. See, back years ago, they stoned them and throwed them in the lake and cut their heads off and stuff like that. The attack on us today is not physical. The attack on us today is mental and emotional. That's how the devil's getting Christians in this day and time. We got everything a person could want physically. Air conditioned, food, house, clothes, all that kind of stuff. But son, he's working us over on our minds, on our feelings, our nerves, things like that. Wouldn't you agree with that this morning? He said, David was greatly distressed. He'd just about ready to blow his brains out. For the people spake of stoning him. People's talking bad about him. They thought about just getting rid of him altogether, throwing him rocks and busting his brains out. Because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now there's the answer this morning. I wouldn't even have to preach if you'd just get that verse there this morning. You know what David did? He said, hey, I'm getting weak here. I am getting weak. I am going to have to encourage myself in the Lord my God. I'd love to be a blessing to you this morning and help you. And I want to preach to you on the subject some things that will encourage a Christian. These are days of discouragement. I don't believe there's ever been a time when you see more people just saying, I can't hack it no more. The world looks too good. The flesh desires too much. Living for God's too hard. Reading the Bible's too dull. Praying, trying to stay right is too hard. I just had it, preacher. I just had it. I hear it all the time. Not just here in our church, but other churches where I go. There's a legend that says the devil one time was having a yard sale. And the devil had some tools that he had used to mess people's lives up, and he's going to sell a bunch of them. He had the tools like hammers and chisels and saws and stuff, and he had a tool there called pride, and a tool called jealousy, and a tool called envy and greed, and all these other tools. And there's one tool there that had a sign on it, not for sale. When they asked him what that tool was, he said, I can't sell that tool. It's my most useful tool. He said, with that tool, I can work my way into hearts that I couldn't get into with lust or greed or murder. With that tool, I can get into some people's hearts that wouldn't let me in with alcohol or drugs or things like that. That tool is discouragement. Discouragement. The devil can get you with discouragement when he can't get you with what we call, you know, quote, big sins. The devil can cause you to be discouraged and work his way into your heart and plant little seeds. And you'll think you've got every right in the world to feel like you feel. You'll think I deserve to feel like I feel. I should feel. I'm right by feeling like I'm feeling. But I want to say this morning, David had to encourage himself in the Lord his God. And what some of you are going to have to do this morning, if you're going to make it in this race that we're running, if you're going to stay in here for God, you're going to have to do what David did. You're going to have to get some encouragement in the Lord your God. David just made up his mind. He said, I'm not going to let myself fall. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it by the grace of God. I'm going to... And buddy, he got alone with God. He said, Lord, the people's out there talking bad about me. They're wanting to stone me. Saul's trying to kill me. I ain't got no house to live in. I ain't got nowhere to go. No one to turn to. He said, Lord, you are going to have to help me. And you're going to come to that point too. You're going to come to that point too. You'll come to that point too where it's going to be you and God. And you and God's going to have to get along. Listen, there comes a time in every Christian's life when your friends can't do it for you, your mama can't do it for you, your daddy, your husband, no matter how much you depend on your husband or your wife or whatever, you are going to have to take your stand for God, just you and God. And you're going to have to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. People look at me and a lot of times they'll say, well, Brother Danny, he just never has a problem and he's just always happy and on fire for God and all that. Listen, I'm made out of the same stuff you are. I can get discouraged just like you can. Now, I will admit I don't get discouraged much because I'm so hard-headed. But the reason I'm so hard-headed is because I have to put up with you all the time. And the Lord had to make me that way. But I want to tell you something, brother. I want to tell you, we're going to have to get to the point where we will encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. I want to say a few things this morning that you can use to encourage yourself. I want us to think, first of all, about the faithfulness of God. Buddy, when I think about the faithfulness of God, that encourages me. Amen. People change. Churches change. Individuals change. Relatives change. I've seen people all the time, they say, my goodness, what happened to them? They sure ain't like they used to be. Man, I remember when I was on fire for God, you know what? But you know what? God never changes. Amen? Lord said, I am the Lord. I change not. I change not, God said. He said, I do not change. What a blessing. You never have to worry about getting down on your knees at night, not one time, and saying, Dear Lord, and Him say, oh, sorry, I don't work that way no more. I'm out of the prayer answering business. I've got a new plan now. I'm going a different direction. Sorry, I cut you. You never have to even think about that. You never have, when we come up here to prayer meeting on Saturday night, like we was last night, we sat up here and cut up for a little while, and then we all got down and prayed. It never even entered my mind. What if he don't listen to us tonight? What if he's gone? What if he's on a vacation? What if God's got his phone off the hook? What if he won't answer the beeps and he's on talking to somebody else? All right. You never have to even worry about that. But I'll tell you what, when we got down here last night, and as soon as you say, Dear Lord, man, you can just feel a hole go through the sky. You can just feel it. And he's on the other end saying, Yes, sir, what can I do for you? I tell you, it encourages me tonight or this morning to know that God is faithful. Like that little girl one time, she was asked to pray. She spent a night with some people, and she wasn't a very good prayer. And they got down to pray, and she prayed for everybody she could think of. And she said, and God, take care of mama, and God, take care of daddy, and God, take care of little sister, and God, take care of little brother. She prayed for everybody she could think of. And finally at the end, she said, and God, take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we're all sunk. I tell you what, that's true. Amen. If anything happened to him, we're all sunk. I got news for you this morning. Listen to me. There ain't nothing going to happen to him. He's the Almighty. He's from everlasting to everlasting, brother. That's our God we're serving today. We're not much, but he is faithful. Can anybody in here ever tell me one time when you sincerely went to the Lord when He didn't hear you? You might have thought He didn't. Can anybody in here tell me that any time when you've ever asked Him to forgive you and you meant it, that He said, "Nope, sorry, tired of fooling with you. I'm not going to bless you no more. I'm not going." God don't do that. God is faithful. God is faithful. I don't know about you, but that helps me in this day we're living in. We stopped witnessing some boys out there on the road to the camp the other night. They were so drunk or stoned out of their mind. What's wrong with them? They couldn't even hardly stand like it. I rolled down the car window, and they come over to the car like, "Hey, you're here to party, huh?" They come over and bent over the car like it, and I said, "How's it going?" They said, "Good." I said, "You boys ought to come out there at the youth camp and go to church with us." They went back like that. Like a snake bit them or something. You know what? You look at people like that and you think, good night, is this world in a mess? I had a lady call me yesterday. And one of the most unusual phone calls I've had in a while. She called and talked forever from Georgia. And she called me and she said, "Is this Danny Castle?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Somebody gave me your name. Said you might could help me. Us people here just across South Carolina, the Georgia line down there, past Anderson, you know, as you're going down 85 toward Atlanta." And she said, "There's a family in our community that's having problems." She said, "Preacher, I don't know if you believe in this or not, but," she said, "we believe there's something, the devil, demons are in their house." And I said, "Well, I do believe what the Bible says about demons. What seems to be the problem?" She said, "It's been going on for 3 weeks now." She said, "Strange things are happening in the house, like doors just slamming. The phone jumps off the hook." She said, "This is no joke." She said, "I'm not kidding. This is happening." She said, "It happened every Tuesday and Wednesday. It went a week. Happened the next Tuesday and Wednesday. Went a week. Happened the next." But she said it took place again yesterday, which was Friday. She said the gas stove in that house will light, and they'll have to shut it off. She said, "Preacher, I'm an independent Baptist." She said, I just went over and visited them. She said, "They're crying out for help." She said, "They've had the sheriff over there to investigate. He don't know what's going on." She said, "Can you help me?" I said, "Well, did you see the stove? I thought, you sure ain't somebody playing." She said, "I was standing right there, preacher." She said, "We heard the stove." She said, "I didn't see the flame come up, but I heard the button click. We looked, and the kid came running through and said, 'Mama, the stove's on again.'" And I said, "Well, does the family have any kind of connection with the occult or anything like Satanism?" She said, "Well, the boy plays with a Ouija board." And I said, "There it is right there." I said, "Something's come into that house." And she said, well, "Preacher, this is no joke." She said, "These people are begging for help." She said, "They don't know what to do. They're scared to go to sleep." She said, they've been going to church trying to get some help. And she said, "My preacher told me to stay away from them." She said, "What are they going to do?" And I said, "You need a man of God. You need a man of God to come in there and pray." And some people pray and fast. And I gave her the number of some preachers in that area. And she said, I'll call you back and do what we can. I want to tell you, brother, we're living in a day. We are living in a day when the devil knows he don't have much time. He's throwing everything he's got. He's moving in a lot strong. I showed some kids some stuff the other night. It's going on in rock and roll. Before we had that great service Thursday night. Brother, if you don't think we're living in the last days now, you need your eyes open. We're living in a dark day. We're living in a dark day. We're living in a day. There are people right here in North Carolina that would kill me for what I preached this week at the camp, what I'm preaching. I mean, literally take my life outside there. But there's one thing that stops it. There's one thing that keeps us operating. That God is faithful, and He's had His hand on us and protected us all these years. That encourages me today, brother. The world's dark, but thank God He's faithful. Listen, it's God that's kept that camp safe these years. It's God that's took me all over creation and helped. There ain't no telling what's about to happen to me. You know what? I find out a few things. I see all the time where the devil does this and the devil does that, trying to trip me up, get me here. I got some of the weirdest phone calls this week you ever seen in your life. People just pulling here, pulling here, pulling here, pulling there. And it's almost like the devil's just trying to do everything he can to distract. But I'm glad this morning that God is faithful. I want to say something else this morning. It'll encourage you. The fellowship of the saints. When you get discouraged, listen to me. If you're discouraged here this morning, the last thing in the world you need is to miss church services. That's the last thing you need. I talked to a man one time. He said, "Well, I'm just going to wait till I get my act together before I come back to church." Wrong decision, buddy. When you feel, that's like leaving a doctor in a hospital when you're getting sick. That's when you need the church. That's when you need the church. That's when you, I'd about camp out in here. If I thought, buddy, my life's going to be ruined, and I'm going to wreck my life, you'd be better off just to stay around in here and get in here. Them kids the other night didn't even want to leave the camp. You know why? Because there's something about the fellowship of the saints that encourages. I was discouraged not too long ago. The devil just hitting me this way and that way. And you know what? I was kind of down. I don't get that way very often. But I got kind of down, you know. And boy, I went in there. I forgot where it was. It's in here, out the camp, or somewhere. And I believe it was at the camp. Got up there and sat down, and they started that first song. They started singing. And buddy, the more they sang, the better I liked it. First thing you know, I saw all them Christians standing there with their Bibles, and they had their heads raised up, and had smiles on their faces, and they were singing "When We All Get to Heaven," and just a little talk with Jesus, and there's power in the blood, and all that. And buddy, stuff began to turn on the inside. Something in here said, "Glory to God, I ain't dead yet." Amen. Something in here said, "Hey man, I might be down, but I ain't out. I ain't giving up. I ain't giving in. I just want to kick and kick and kick and kick and kick and kick." I tell you what, brother, that encourages me. The fellowship of the saints. There's just something about getting together with other Christians. Somebody said, "Well, I can just live as good at home, preacher." You're lying. You can't do it. You can't live better hanging around a bunch of Christian people. There's strength in numbers. There's encouragement, and you can get encouraged right here in there. And everybody here, you need you a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that you are faithful to and a part of. You know why? He'll encourage you when you get discouraged. Amen? But there's something about it. Iron sharp enough iron. And we get in here and start singing, I can encourage you. You can encourage me. Sometimes when our choir's singing over there, I feel like little bubbles start going off in my chest. Something just starts going, bub, 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 bub. I think I'm going to blow up sometime. I think, glory to God, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm a preacher. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad we're going to heaven when we die. That's a church wrong, amen. Listen, there's a lot of things we can't do nothing about. There ain't no use in crying over. We can get help today and encouragement from the fellowship of the saints. Sometimes you just get around people. I heard there's a boy one time missed like camp this week, and a boy come back and he saw everybody happy and singing and everything, and he said, "Man, I've missed a lot." And that's true. When you miss church, you miss a lot. You miss a lot. You miss a lot. And you can't never go back and get it. It's gone. The fellowship of the saints will encourage you. Let me say quickly. The Spirit of God inside me encourages me this morning. When I realize it's Him living the Christian life through me and not me doing it for Him, son, that makes it a whole lot easier. I've tried and tried and tried and tried to get something done for God and I can't. And then sometimes I'll just say, "My goodness, I ain't getting nowhere." And then just something just keeps carrying me along. I think, man, this ain't me anyway. It's the Lord inside you. Boy, don't it feel good when the Spirit of God stirs inside you and it lets you know, hey, I'm still here. You know what the devil will do? The devil will cloud your mind. He'll put stuff over your face to where, you know, it blocks it out. And problems and church troubles and family troubles and financial troubles and physical problems. Well, you just think, man, I don't know. But boy, you know, when you get to church and the Spirit of God starts moving, it's like the Lord speaks to you and said, "Everything's all right. I'm still on the throne." You know what I'm talking about? Man, that'll encourage you. It's just like getting a shot in the arm, brother. It's just like getting your gas tank filled. Buddy, out there at camp this week, I got my gas tank filled. Hey, man, just got loaded up. Hey, man, got my gun loaded, ready to boom, 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 boom. Unload it again. Hey, man, that'll encourage you. The Spirit of God inside you. Somebody said this preacher had a dream one time. And he dreamed he was trying to, had a big old piece of granite rock. And he had a hammer and he's trying to bust it. And he kept going, bow, bow, bow. And he's hitting it hard as he can, hard as he could, hard as he could. And it wasn't doing nothing to it. And he said, he got discouraged and just sat down sweating, wiped the sweat off. And he said, "I quit." And then somebody come along and said, "I'll just hit it one more time." And he said, "Well, I'll hit it one more. I beat it all day. It ain't going to do no good. I'll hit it one more." And buddy, he come down and hit that thing and he just happened to hit it just right on that crack that time and that thing flew into a million pieces. He just about quit right before God gave him the victory. And that's what's wrong with some of you. You think, "I've been to the altar and I've been to the altar and I've been to the altar and I've been to the altar and I keep messing up." Yeah, but just try it one more time. How about it up there? Try it one more time. That might be the time that thing flies into a million pieces and God gives you what you need. I'll tell you one thing. You better encourage yourself nowadays because this world is getting worse. I never seen the world like it is now. I'm not trying to sound dramatic because I'm a preacher. In the last 5 years, buddy, this country, this world's got, Lord have mercy. I mean, we're so used to stuff that if you've seen an upside down cross and people spitting on the Lord and ripping out Bibles at rock concerts, 20 pages out of Bible, 20 years ago, churches all over America would have been on their knees bawling their eyes out. Now it's just, nothing. This thing's wicked, son. It's wicked. The other night, we was down there when we was pulling Todd's boat, 1 o'clock in the morning, man. These two girls come along and tried to pick me and him up. I'm serious. These two girls pulled up in the car and they said, "Hey, y'all need some help?" "Well, we're just checking this boat here on this trailer and can't get it right and everything." "We'll take you somewhere." I mean, they was wicked looking girls too. And I said no 3 times. They asked us 3 times if they could take us somewhere. And they went off and I said, "Son, this world's wicked. When they'll flirt with somebody that looks like him, son, this world's bad off." That's right. Amen. Amen. I said, "I know we're in the last days. The Lord's coming soon. I know it." I tell you what. Do you know they'll come up to you now? People come up to you now? Used to, when we go visit a home, I'm telling you, when we first started this church, we come up to somebody's house like this, and somebody was drinking a beer. I remember it happening. When they seen you come to the door, the preacher, they'd set that beer. They'd set it behind there, you know, and put their foot there, you know. I've seen them do that. You don't see them do that no more. Don't see them do it. Ask him. Buddy, you go in now, they'll sit there and pop one right in front of you. "Here you go, preacher. You want one?" Amen, buddy. Things ain't like they used to be. You are going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. It's swim or drown from here on, buddy. Some of you are going to have to learn how to dog paddle in the Lord. Amen. You're going to have to learn how to keep yourself up. You're going to have to, you can't just relax and live right. It's a fight. You've got to, and some of you young people, so you think, "Boy, I went to the altar camp, now everything's all right." You can't relax. It's a fight every day. You got to make yourself read that Bible. The devil will say, "Go to the movies." You say, "No, I'm going to prayer meet." The devil will say, go out here and go to a party. You'll say, "No, I'm going with the youth choir." The devil, and it never quits. Never quits. Never quits. It never quits. And it won't quit till you lay this rotten flesh down and go home to be with Jesus. We need some young people and mamas and dads that'll say, "I will encourage myself in the Lord my God." Whoa. Let me tell you something else that will encourage you. Encourage yourself, finally, of the blessed hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:2, the Lord said, "If I go away, I will come again." There ain't nothing will put zest in your Christian life, brother, like expecting Jesus to come at any minute. Amen? He's not forgot us. Don't you get the feeling like that sometimes? "Oh, Lord, I don't know if you're ever going to come. Good night, they told me you was coming 10 years ago. You ain't never got here yet." We thought he was coming in 1977. We thought he was coming in 83. We thought he was coming in 89. We thought he was coming in 92. We thought he was coming in 93. We thought he was coming in 96. Now all that means is this. It means we're closer than we've ever have been, and he's still coming. Amen. You want to get encouragement in your Christian life? Look for the Lord. You say, "Brother Danny, I just don't know how much longer I can..." Well, you can handle it today, can't you? Can you make it today? That's all you got to worry about. That's all you got to worry about. We'll live tomorrow when it gets here. "Well, what am I going to do 5 years?" Don't worry about 5 years from now. Don't worry about it. Calm down. Make it today. Live right today. Read your Bible today. Pray today. God will help you. I want you to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Can't you tell that all this is just the devil trying to push you out of God's will? You know that's what it is. Brother Danny, something happened to me, and this happened to me, and that happened to me. Yeah, I know. Stuff happened to me too. And I know what it is. It's the devil trying to knock you out of the race for God. Ain't no use to whine. You might as well just get up and wipe the blood off of you and go on and encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Now the message this morning was for anybody who's just got discouraged. Hundreds of you here this morning, ain't no doubt about it. You say, I can't pay my bills, preacher. I don't know what I'm going to do. Me and my wife can't get along. My kids is rebelling. I'm going to lose my job. Yeah, I know, buddy. We got problems, man. We got problems. Ain't no doubt about it. But I want to tell you this morning, encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Our Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name that You would give that saint of God that special touch of encouragement that they need this morning. These that are on the altar, I don't know what they're praying about. God, You do. I pray in Jesus' name that You would bless them, that You would encourage them, and that You would give them just a new zeal and a new desire to walk out of this place and serve You anyway. Just throw up their hand and praise the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.